You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Last week, we started a series titled, What You See is What You Get. And today, I want to continue that series with a message titled, The Mirror. Now, the modern mirror, as we know it, was invented by a German chemist by the name of Justus von Liebig in 1835. He was the one who came up with the idea of developing a metallic coating that goes behind a sheet of glass that becomes reflective. But it's believed that the concept of a mirror, the idea of a mirror, has been around for as long as 8,000 years. Before the mirror made of glass and metallic coating, people used to make mirrors out of all sorts of things. Polished rocks, black volcanic glass. They used to make it out of different types of metal. And it's believed that the most common type of mirror in Jesus' days, in the first century, was made out of bronze or copper. They would just polish the bronze and copper, shape it in a round shape, and that would be a personal mirror. What that tells me is that for a long time, we have cared about how we look. We have been interested in how we present ourselves. We have been curious about what we look like, and we've been concerned about it. Now, last week I asked you a question. The question was, what is shaping your vision? And this week, I want to continue the conversation by asking the following question. Who do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you like what you see? Are you pleased with who you see when you look in the mirror? Now, of course, I'm not talking about external standards of beauty. I'm talking about what's going on the inside. I'm talking about what's going on in your heart, in your mind. Are you joyful? Are you at peace? Are you free? When you look at your life today, can you say with confidence, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you're going in the right direction? See, it's important in trying times. It's important in time of the testing, in challenging times, to pay attention and take inventory, evaluate the state of your heart. In seasons of hardship, we need to pay attention to what's feeding our soul, to what's feeding our mind, what's feeding our spirit. And I want to remind you today that you are called for a purpose, that your life is not by chance, that the gifts and talents that you have, they are not by chance. I want to remind you that God has appointed your life for this moment in time, that He has appointed your life to exist in this season, in 2020, and that He has prepared good works for you beyond the difficulties, beyond the hardship, beyond the pandemic, beyond everything that we're facing. He has prepared good works for you to take part in so that you can affect the world, so that you can affect those who are around you. That person you see in the mirror each day is a child of the Most High God. God calls you wonderfully and fearfully made. Now, here's what I find interesting. Every single one of us, Christian, non-Christian, atheist, agnostic, we all live with this internal conflict. Even though we constantly miss our target, even though we constantly make mistakes, we still believe we're supposed to be good. Even though we do bad, we believe we're supposed to be good. Now, why is that? Why can't we just be? Why do we sense that we missed some kind of arbitrary target that we're supposed to hit? If we know nobody is perfect, why do we try to be perfect? If we know nobody's perfect, why are we still disappointed when we fall short of perfection. Why do we struggle with this internal conflict? Every single one of us. The Apostle Paul gives us some insight. In Romans 2, verses 14 and 15, he says, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show that the work of the law is written in their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them." So Gentiles are people who were brought up not exposed to the law of God. So basically what Paul is telling us here is that even people who were not exposed to the spoken or written law of God, something in their hearts tells them when they're doing right. Something in their hearts tells them when they are doing wrong. There's something within us that calls us to live God's way. And if we pay attention, if we open our hearts, and if we realize that God is calling us to live a higher kind of life, to live connected to Him, then we'll begin to enter into that kind of life that we hope to live every single day. Now, here's what's true about our actions. Something is instructing every single one of us in the way we should act. Every day, we're getting our cues from somewhere. There are voices, there are images, circumstances, conversations, relationships that are guiding you. Something or someone is leading you every day. What is it? I remember in our lives, back in 2016, when the presidential elections in the United States started to get heated, we had to make a decision not to watch the news anymore. Now, I like history, I like to be informed, I like to stay on top of things. But things started to get so toxic as we watched the news. As the election progressed, many of you remember, news outlets began to pick a side and make allegiances. And I just started feeling pressed to embrace one side entirely or the other. And once allegiances were made, it was hard to just stay focused on facts rather than the emotions and opinions that were being transmitted. And this is a personal evaluation of mine. This is not something that I'm imposing on anybody. But we made a decision at our house. We were like, no, we're not gonna do it. We're not gonna take part in that. We're not going to take cues from news corporations. We're not going to take cues from one party or the other. We're not going to do that. We're going to focus on the scriptures. We're going to take our cues from God's life, from God's direction. So we canceled our cable. We canceled TV. And I think it was a wise financial decision. It was a wise decision for our soul as well at the time. Now, I still stay informed. I read the news and I'd rather read it than watch it now. But it was a small adjustment for us personally that we made. Why? Because we wanted to make sure we weren't swept in the avalanche of voices, emotions, thoughts, toxicity that was being thrown at us and allow that to lead our lives. The name of this series is What You See is What You Get. And that is true. What you lend your eyes to, what you lend your heart to, what you lend your ears to will eventually lead you. If you're lending your life to toxic, divisive political rhetoric, that's what you're gonna get. If you're giving hours of your daily attention to look at content designed to make you addicted, that's what you're gonna get. If your attention is given to toxic, no good programming delivered by algorithms, coded to sway you to either consume a certain object, consume a certain product, that's what you're gonna get. See, don't be surprised if you look in the mirror one day and you are not too content with who's looking back at you. This is what Jesus said. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is your darkness? This is what Jesus is telling us. What you lend your attention to matters. What you allow in your heart, in your mind, matters. How you spend your time, it matters. And I want to encourage you today, and even challenge you today, to take inventory. Are you today in pursuit of God's plan for your life? Are you today actively pursuing God's plan, the seeds that God has placed in your heart, the things that God has called you out to? Are you pursuing that? You might ask the question, JD, how do I do that? How do I pursue God's plan for your life? It's simple. It might not be easy, but it is simple. The Apostle James instructs us in this way. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in all he's doing. See, if you read books like I do, if you take surveys of personality like I have, if you've taken your spiritual test, spiritual gift survey like I have, the Enneagram is the new thing right now, right? If you've taken your DISC, make a DISC assessment, or the 16 personalities, that's all good. Those are not bad things. But those are resources that are out there for you to discover who you are, for you to assess and find out. And we all take part in them because we have an interest in what moves us, what kind of gifts we have, our makeup. Let me tell you that above all that, what stands supreme, every book and every test and everything that you might be looking to and toward to improve yourself, to make your life better, there's something that is should be above, and that is the scriptures. That is the word of God. That is the perfect law of God. And the law of God says this, that you are loved. The law of God says that you are accepted. The scriptures say that you are made in God's image. It says that God loved you so much that he gave his only son for you, and that if you believe in him, God will give you eternal, everlasting life. It says that he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He did not send his son into the world to condemn you, but that the world might be saved through him. It says that our life, the life that we're looking for, is hidden in Christ. And that if we think about Christ, if we pursue a Christ-like life, we will find our life. The perfect law of God calls us to set our minds on the things that are above and not the things that are below. It tells us how to fight evil, how to destroy evil. It tells us that we should destroy evil with good, that we should fight evil with good and not with evil. It tells us that love is patient, that love is kind, that love does not envy. It tells us that we are called for a higher purpose, that God has good plans for us from the foundations of the earth. It says that you were knit together by Almighty God. There's so much in the scriptures, in the law of God, that can build your life, that can write the right image in your heart of who you are. Let me encourage you today to find yourself in God. find your life in God. The best mirror you can look at each day is this one right here. This is the best mirror you can look to find out who you are, to see what kind of person you are meant to be. The best mirror to see yourself each morning is the scriptures. So for each day that you don't feel like you're good enough, let me encourage you, look in the mirror. For each day that you feel like you fell short, you were not the best husband you could be, you were not the best father you could be, you were not the best wife you could be, you were not the best mom you could be, look in the mirror. For each day when you feel like you need direction, you need guidance, look in the mirror. For those moments when you forget who you are and you don't act in accordance to who God made you to be, don't distance yourself from God. Don't move away from the presence of God. Come to Him and look in the mirror. Each day, look in the mirror, because God is calling you. He's calling you to a higher life. He's calling you to raise your standards. He's calling you out of addictions. He's calling you out of bad habits. He's calling you to live a free life. And the answer is in His presence. Look in the mirror, because when you look in the mirror, the seeds that God will put in your heart will grow, and they will transform you, and you will become who God has called you to be. Do you receive it this morning? Thank you so much for watching. Listen, if this is your first time with us, I want to invite you to make a decision right now to connect to God and invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. If you've never made that decision before, would you pray with me? In every room, in every place, let's bow our heads if we can, close your eyes, put your hand to your heart, and repeat after me. Say, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my past, my present, and my future. I invite you into my life. Guide me, lead me, help me to look in the mirror and see who you have made me to be. Help me to look in the mirror and see who I'm supposed to be. Thank you for your sacrifice. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior from this day forward." Amen. Listen, if you prayed that simple prayer, we believe you connected to God. Now remember, the mirror not only tells you who you are today, but it shows you who you can become. So we encourage you to each day open the scriptures. If you don't have a Bible, there's an app for that, or we can give you a Bible. Come on to one of our in-person services, and we would love to give you a Bible. Let us know that you made that decision so we can give you your next steps. For the rest of us, thank you for watching. Thank you for being with us. A reminder, the next week we will be in person. Today was online only, but next week, October 18th, we will be in person at Ripplewam Middle School here in Stamford. So I invite you to join us if you can. To join us, you got to register. The website is popping up on the screen right now. We'd love to see you then. And God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Have a great Sunday and a great week, everybody. God bless you.